The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. He said this signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. During Lent, I did a short message series on discipleship. What is it that makes a person a disciple? And I made it very clear, coming to church may have something to do with it, but just because we come to church doesn't make us a disciple. Discipleship is an all-in sort of thing. And so the question is, how many Christians actually become disciples in their lifetime? The stuff that I read says that probably not too many. And yet every one of us is called to be a disciple, to give everything over in service to the Lord. And in today's readings, we have a very kind of good snapshot of what discipleship is as we look at Jesus, who is the perfect disciple, and Peter, who is the one Jesus calls to be a disciple. So we have Jesus, the perfect disciple, discipling Peter. Now, I'll say right off, that's what we're supposed to be doing, what Jesus does. Not only are we called to be disciples, but we are supposed to go out into the world and disciple other people. One person put it this way, which I think is a good snapshot of discipleship or becoming a disciple. He put it this way: when we first meet Jesus, he improves our old life. And then he asks us to come into a new life, to give us new life. Now, we may stop at any point. Jesus doesn't force us to do any of those things. But I think it's kind of good that when we first meet Jesus, he improves our old life. That is, we see that we are loved by God. We know that God loves us. He became a human being, suffered and died for us. That's important information. That's going to improve our old life. And then as we get used to that, Jesus says, you want to go further? I'll give you a new life. But in order for you to get the new life, you have got to give everything over to God. You can't hold anything back. That's when we become disciples. So you can ask yourself, where are you on that road to discipleship? But Peter's a good example of someone who does go all the way, gives over everything. In fact, in the first encounter with Jesus, as you remember, they're fishing. So in this today's gospel, they're fishing, and the first time that Jesus meets them, they're fishing. And they don't catch anything, and Jesus comes along and says, put out and drop your nets again. And what happened? They got a lot of fish. Well, right there, I'd say that was an improvement of their old life, right? I mean, to get some new fish, wow. But that's not the point of what Jesus wanted with them. He wanted them to know that if they followed him, their lives would continue to be improved in the sense of they would know who God was, how God loved them, and how valuable and precious they were in God's eyes, and that God wanted to bless them with every possible gift so that they could do what Jesus was doing. It's the same with us, exactly the same with us. Jesus calls us because he wants us to do the work that he's doing. So we have Peter, and he recognizes right off that Jesus is special. He says, I'm not worthy, Lord. You better leave me. But Jesus doesn't. And so what does Peter do? He drops everything. He leaves his nets, his ships, his father-in-law, and the other ones do the same. They give up everything right away, but they're still not fully disciples because so far it's kind of easy. Now, we fast forward to the courtyard of the high priest. We read that in the Passion narrative. What did Peter do? Well, before it, he said, Lord, I will never deny you. I will never deny you. Do we ever say that to God? No, Lord, I'll always be faithful. Oops, sorry, I didn't mean it. But Peter says, I'm not going to deny you. And what did he do? He denied Jesus. Three times he denied him. Here's this big braggart, and as soon as the pressure gets a little heavy, he falls. Now, Jesus did not say, okay, get away from me, Satan. I'm not going to deal with you anymore. Because God is a God of second chances and third chances and 25 chances. And even on our deathbed, God gives us a chance to say, Lord, I am sorry for the sins I have committed. I want to be with you. And as we hear again and again from Jesus and from the saints, God will not deny us. We may deny him, but he will not deny us. So he's giving us a lot of room. So here's Peter. He denies the Lord, and he was very upset by it. So here we have the gospel where once again they're on a shore, they're fishing, and they don't catch any fish. And this person on the shore, who is Jesus, but they don't know that, says, put out and drop your nets on the right side of the boat. Now, they did it. They did it. And, you know, I'm thinking, were they easy to manipulate? Were they pushovers that they did it? Why didn't they say, nah, we've been out all night, nothing's happening? But they did. And what happened? They got all these fish, huge fish. So immediately they're thinking, ah, that's Jesus. He's the one who gives in abundance. And so they come to shore and Jesus gives them breakfast. I mean, talk about hospitable. He was the perfect hospitable person. He could have said, okay, Peter, you get the fish ready. John, you get the bread. No, he had it all ready for them. This is God. This is God. He's serving us. He wants us to do what he did, and in order for that to happen, he shows us what we're supposed to be doing. So we have this wonderful conversation then where Jesus gives Peter another chance. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I do. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, you know I do. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know everything. I love you. He denied him three times, and here he's got a new chance three times to say, I love you, Lord. And so what we have going on here is the making of Peter really as a disciple. He's finally become a real disciple, and he's not going to run away from persecution. And in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, he is saying, in a sense, he's proud to be persecuted because he's a Christian. He's proud. He's happy with it. Paul says that too. Yeah, go ahead, beat me up. It's all for Jesus. It's great. It's wonderful. That's what a disciple says. Do we say that? Or do we try to avoid any confrontation, any encounter with people where we're going to maybe think in ourselves, well, maybe they won't like it and therefore I don't want... That's not discipleship. That's not discipleship. Discipleship is when we put ourselves in situations out of love for other people where we might be dismissed, where we might be persecuted. So for the rest of Peter's life, he was not denying Jesus. In fact, what did he finally do? He died upside down on a cross because he was faithful to Jesus. He was a true disciple. So again, we have what discipleship looked like in Peter, his journey, and that's our journey too. We've got to ask ourselves, where am I in that journey? Yes, our lives have been improved, our old lives improved through Jesus, but have we accepted that new life, which means I got to let go of everything? New life in Jesus costs everything. And then secondly, we're supposed to be doing what Jesus did with Peter. You and I are supposed to be going out and discipling other people, inviting them to be disciples, which means we are supposed to go out and improve the lives of other people, their old lives, however we improve it, feeding them, helping them with their homes, whatever it might be, and feeding them the gospel in little bits. That's the first part. And then we want to say, do you want more? Do you want more? Do you want the whole thing? Because that's what God wants for us. He doesn't want little pieces here and there. He wants for each of us to get the whole thing, the whole kebab. He wants us to be in heaven with him. That's the journey. Because there's nothing in this life that can fully satisfy us. Yeah, we got moments where we think, oh, this is wonderful, I'm comfortable, I got what I want. If we can dull our senses that way only so long and then realize, no, that's not true. And so we need to go out to other people and say to them, okay, I'm trying to improve your old life here, but I'm also going to tell you that you were not created for this life. There's another life God created you for. Do you want it? Do you want it? That's what he says to us too. And if we say, yes, I want it, then it means I got to pay the price. I got to pay for it, which is with my whole life. That's what Peter did. That's what St. Paul did. That's what all of the disciples, the saints, do. So discipleship is a journey, and maybe we're afraid. Maybe we're nervous about it. I think the reason that is so often the case is because we don't have good, solid Christian community. We don't have other people who we are regularly in touch with whom we pray, who know what our struggles are. We know what their struggles are, and we can encourage one another. We get together regularly so we can say, how did you do this past week in improving someone's old life? How did you tell someone about the new life God wants for them? What did you do to go out and meet a stranger and find out who they are and what their needs are? We need that in a good, healthy Christian community. Otherwise, what happens is we go out those doors, we go back to our own routine, and we forget about it all because we're so focused on jobs or this or that, as opposed to our real work, our vocation, to live and to proclaim the good news of salvation. That's what we're here for. At least that's what we're supposed to be here for. So we have a choice. We can either say to God, I'm only going to go so far, God. I'm only going to go so far because I'm not sure I trust you or believe your promises. Or we can say, Lord, I know it's going to be difficult, but I do trust you. And I want to go all the way to be a disciple. And can you imagine if we had a church, a parish filled with disciples, people who go out and disciple others? It wouldn't be long before all these pews would be full. It wouldn't be long. And it's happening in churches all over the country, Catholic churches. People who have said, you know, we got to change the way we think, the way we believe, the way we do things. And there are churches building bigger sanctuaries to hold all the new people. Now, that's not happening here. It could. It could. And the promise of God is, if you are faithful, if you become a disciple, if you disciple other people, things will change. So as always, it's left up to us. Jesus does not coerce us. He does not force us. He does not make us do his will. But let's face it, do we want to go to heaven? Do we want the whole gift that God wants for us? Do we really want it? Are we hungering for it? And are we saying to one another, hey, let's get together and do it. Let's go for it. Because that's what the early church was like, that we read about in the Acts of the Apostles. They were so on fire, they sold their possessions and gave them to the apostles to distribute to those in need. They're way ahead of us, and that was 2,000 years ago. So the question is, where am I in my journey? What do I need to do to stay on that journey? How do I need to say to Jesus, I want it all. I want to be a disciple. So we hear the word of God. It's our story. We receive the flesh of Jesus Christ, who is God, his divine food. God has given us everything we could possibly need to be on fire with the faith. The rest is left up to us. So let's pray as we continue our Eucharist that when we go through those doors, we will get in touch with the discontent that's in us, the sense of not being fully fulfilled, because it's there, and then say, God, I will follow you wherever you go. I will not deny you. I will come back to you at all times so that I can be truly counted among your faithful disciples.